Welcome to the Heart for God podcast. With many years of experience pastoring and helping to start churches, Dr. Jim Townsley has some practical and biblical advice that can be a great help to you and your ministry. On this podcast, Dr. Townsley and other guests with special expertise cover a variety of topics. His goal is to help you lead your church to be a healthy, strong, and balanced ministry, and for your family to be happy, healthy, and living for the Lord.
Welcome to the podcast today. Thanks for joining us. I have with me today Brother Marlon Smith, and he is sort of the director of the Sword of the Lord behind the scenes and all things that go on to make the Sword of the Lord what it is. Good to have you with us today.
Thank you very much. Pleased to be here.
So you wear many hats, but describe what your role really is. What is your purpose? You know, the Sword of the Lord is a big organization.
Well, we reach out, obviously, into a lot of areas, and it does take a lot of hands to make it go around, make it work. When I first started at the Sword, my role was rather limited, but there came a day when my position changed, and I was then the executive vice president, general manager. So basically, the role that I play is making sure the job gets done. So I've got several people that work for me directly, and then everybody works for them. But it's a team effort. We get together and just work through issues, planning for upcoming events. We have, of course, big events like the Sword Conference that we do every year, our men's conference that we do every year, and it's really just a team effort.
So there are different aspects to the Sword. There's the paper, there's publishing.
Right.
And there are conferences.
Correct.
So there are a number of each one of those kind of involved in that.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah, one of the good things that my dad, who is Shelton Smith, the editor of the Sword, he and I years ago started working together and working together well. So a lot of what we do, we trade off in some areas. For instance, with the newspaper, with the content of the newspaper, he is the one that is primarily responsible for, I guess you could say. But that's his primary duty, is the content of the Sword. When it comes to conferences, obviously we share in duties, but the fulfillment of the details of those would fall to me and the folks that work for me.
So the paper, there's many articles by many people. So how does that all get put together? I'm sure it's not one person, but articles have to be edited.
Correct.
People send you stuff, and somebody's got to look at it for grammar and so on.
Right. And, you know, we do get a lot of submissions, and that does take time. It takes time, you know, the selection process.
So is there someone that just does editing? Or do you have multiple people?
Well, we do. We have multiple people that help us with that. We have people who type, people who transcribe. We use some digital transcription services, whatever it is. It's a .com, but it's not a .com. Mm-hmm. .io, I think it is. Otter.io that we use, that is a transcription, you know, service that works very well.
So it'll take audio and turn it to
transcript for you. It's not perfect, but it's very good. There's certainly a lot goes in with that. Proofreading, we use Grammarly for a level of proofreading, and then we do have qualified proofreaders as well. So all of that, and it is a big job because they're putting out the Sword twice a month.
Pretty much every 2 weeks then.
It is. 24
pages. You get that done, then you got to start over.
24 pages. We calculate the size of the documents really by the word. So, you know, an average. So that kind of tells us how much space we have to work with. And we kind of, it's kind of one of those little miracles every 2 weeks that our graphic designer's like, it worked again. It's just kind of the way it works.
So I don't know if this is true or not. Maybe it's hearsay. But years ago when Viola Walden did all this, I heard she was still cutting and pasting to put the Sword together.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's before cut and paste became popular on a keyboard. She was the original cut and paste. It was scissors and glue.
Oh, wow.
That's what she used.
Yeah.
She had a great big tub of rubber cement on her desk that she used all the time.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's how I learned what cut and paste meant.
Well, fortunately, with the computer, you can do so much more now. It's so much easier.
It is.
Although it's not easy, but it's easier than that.
Well, you know, and we, staff-wise, computers have allowed us to downsize and how many people it takes to put out the sword. So, but you know, it's a work in progress. We're always learning, always trying to strive to improve and do better. And so, you know, it's just
so there's a digital copy. So, is it identical to the paper copy?
It is.
So, it's fairly simple to get into digital form.
It is. Once we finish the layout, we have there's a process to submit it digitally. Yes.
And then subscriptions. That, I mean, that's a big thing. You've got to distribute this. How do you keep that part going?
We do. We at present time we actually outsource that. Now we printed in house. In fact, it's back in the 1970s that the sword actually first bought our first press that would do the paper. Whenever Dr. Rice was there, they bought a press. the way technology has changed, press printing equipment and presses are so expensive, and the we can't keep up with the technology. So. It has behooved us, really. In fact, the outfit that has printed the USA Today was the first one to approach us. They don't print with us now. They don't print for us now. But we do outsource the printing, and they actually distribute for us as well. We send them our mailing list, and they distribute.
So how do you get people to do subscriptions? The distribution of it in that way.
It's a challenge. Of course, we're in an environment where less and less people are reading. We're in an environment where less and less people want newsprint on their fingers, really. You know, and hey, a newspaper? What do I want a newspaper for?
But that includes books also.
It does. Yeah. It does. And we do a lot. It's another big part of what we're doing is books. But getting people to subscribe is a challenge. And, you know, we try to really focus. I think you've heard it before, content is king. And truly, we look at it, we work very diligently to make sure that our content is trustworthy, it's reliable, it is needful, and current. You know, we want it to be the best it can be. And so,
so someone has to screen what goes in or doesn't go in.
Yes, and we have several screeners, the chief of which is my father. I mean, he's astute.
Yeah, I know
really he is.
He looks at my articles and makes sure they're correct.
He teaches all of us really how to look for stuff and even philosophically the kinds of things we'll put in and will not put in.
Well, when it comes to books, there are people, I'm sure, submit to you material that you just don't feel comfortable printing.
Right. We probably average, I get probably 2 to 3 requests per week.
Per week.
It has, in the last 2 years, it has really, really picked up. We do have a digital process that we print and bind now, which we can do short-run printing, which is great. It does not help to shorten the lifespan of the preparation of the document to print. It does make it easier to print short-run printing, but... But yeah,
unless
we still
more expensive unless you've got a long run.
It's more expensive per piece, right? But you know, for somebody who just wants 250, 500 copies of a book, it's very easy, very painless to do.
It's the way to do it, yeah.
Right? We still, you know, and there are people that will print. We do print for people that we don't publish it. We'll just print for them. But you know, even there, we are particular. We can't print for everyone. You know, we're not going to print anything that's certainly not King James. You know.
So how did you prepare for this kind of a ministry? What was your background? Did you go to Bible college?
I'm glad you asked that. I went to Tennessee Temple. And but one of the best things I got at Tennessee Temple was my wife, other than the education I received. But my father-in-law said, look, if you'll stay there and work, she had 2 years left to finish after I graduated. He said, if you let her finish her degree, I'll pay the bill. I said, that's a good deal. I can do that. So we stayed at 2 years. In those 2 years, I worked at a little print shop in Chattanooga, and I learned all about printing.
Wow.
Interesting. And
that
so, and I'd always had this, the sword had always been in our home, and I'd always kind of thought, man, that'd be a neat place. I wanted to be in the ministry someplace, didn't feel called to preach. And so after my wife graduated, I was like, yeah, I really should call down to the sword and see if they have anything available. Well, shortly thereafter, actually, Dad called me and said, look, I've got a job here at the church where they were in Maryland. why don't you come work for me? So we prayed about it, and we actually, it was a very good thing. We were up there for 2 years, and then Dr. Hudson passed away.
The church is Church of the Open Door.
Church of the Open Door.
Westminster, Maryland.
Correct. Where he was for 17 years. So then the last 2 years that I was with him on staff there. But after that, Dr. Hudson had passed away, and the SWORD board asked Dad if he would be the editor. And to me, it was like, okay, this is what I wanted originally. This,
yeah.
You know, I already understand. I've learned a lot about printing. I've enjoyed it, you know, and want to be in the ministry. So I was right at home from the get-go.
Perfect.
I'm thankful.
Tell me a little bit about your family, too. You have a great family.
Thank you. That starts and ends with my wife. She's the best thing that ever happened to me, for sure. I always said I wanted to, looking for a wife, I wanted to find somebody who's more spiritual than me. And it's still true to this day.
That is matter. Parents, I had never met them before. They're wonderful people.
They're good people. I'm very blessed with the in-laws. I have four children, and actually all four of my kids still work for us at the SWORD in some capacity. Susanna and actually hired a young man from Pensacola who turned out to be her husband, Caleb.
Yeah.
And Susanna is our full-time graphic designer, one of our full-time graphic designers. And then
she does that remotely, or does she go?
She comes into the office every day.
She comes in the office.
She's
okay.
In the office, yeah. She and Caleb both do. My daughter Caroline recently married and lives in Asheboro, North Carolina. She works for us remotely. And it's just a variety of different things that she does for us. My third son, Jonathan, is a mechanic, lives in Murfreesboro, and is a member of our church, Temple Baptist Church in Murfreesboro. And he works in the bus ministry. He actually still helps us with our lawn care. So he's worked for us for many years. And then my son, Daniel, is 19, and he is helping with the radio broadcast that we do every day, and he's learning graphic design as well.
Now, is he the bass in your group?
He's
now?
The bass. It's his first year to sing with us this year.
Seems like he's enjoying that, doing a good job.
Yeah, it's one of those that we've for years, we've tried to woo him. Come on, I know you can sing. You can carry a tune. I can hear it. Look, you do a good job. Come on, sing with us. No, I don't want to. And then all of a sudden, like, okay. So he's loving it. He's enjoying it.
Yeah, it looks like he's enjoying it.
He is.
Well, we really appreciate what you're doing. And this year is going to celebrate the 90th anniversary.
Yes, sir.
Of the SWORD of the Lord.
It is.
And, you know, only eternity will tell the impact through those 90 years, but it's been powerful.
Well, and we're thankful. I try to approach every day at being at the SWORD, just we're grateful to be there and grateful to be part of it. Truly, it's our pleasure to serve.
So did you know Dr. Rice, John Rice?
I never met Dr. Rice, no. Never got to, I did not hear him preach in person.
So you were at Temple after me, but he'd come to Temple every year.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd have all his books, and he would sign them, give a discount to the students and whatnot. He was certainly an interesting man and a great soul winner.
Was, and I get the privilege of listening to a lot of his audio, you know, helping with some of the radio things that we do. He was just unique and uniquely qualified and called.
Certainly was. And his wife was wonderful as well.
She was.
Lady.
She was a doll. Now, I did get to meet her, and she was a real doll.
For sure. Well, thank you, Marlon. I appreciate you
taking the time to share with us.
I think people will be blessed by listening to it.
We appreciate it. Appreciate your ministry and appreciate your Brother Townsend.
All right. God bless. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, consider sharing it with a friend. You can also follow at Dr. Townsley on Twitter or on Facebook at Jim Townsley.